This is Radio Superior 1951, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the lakes, Jack McKenna speaking. It's Tuesday, January 30th, 1951. Another cold day. Lou Martin has the 6 o'clock news. Claude, call me Birdie, Ebling is in with the farm report. And we have a new festival starting up in Hayward about huskies.
That would be muskies.
And we get to play Lou's second most favorite game, Stump the Listener.
This is not my favorite game.
But you like that better than Gripe Line.
True.
Well, the 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Maurice's, with dresses on sale for $5, suits for $25, and robes one-third to one-half off. How can you wear them like that? They better not do that in public.
What?
Take their robes half off. Thanks for asking. Good evening, Lou.
You're welcome. Good evening, good listeners. The bitter cold continues in upper Wisconsin, and red resistance slows the Allied offensive in Korea to a crawl. We go now to our World Shortwave Radio Report.
Hello, this is Max Jordan on the front lines in Korea. Doughboys spearheading the Allies' limited offensive were slowed to a crawl by die-hard red resistance today. An officer says they apparently hit the main enemy force along the frozen Western Korean war front. Hundreds of enemy supply vehicles were seen in North Korea moving southward toward the western battle line. Executive officer of the spearhead, Lieutenant Colonel Bernard Peters of Park Falls, Wisconsin, says, quote, "They are well dug in and determined to stay." Peters adds that advanced Allied units are suffering their heaviest casualties of the offensive, but these are far below the terrific losses being inflicted on the enemy. On the East Coast, UN naval power hurled hot steel from carrier base planes and big guns of warships. The battleship Missouri and a heavy naval attack force teamed with carrier base planes to plaster the town of Kansung, 25 miles north of Parallel 38. The naval release late today says the battleship Missouri poured more than 1,000 rounds of 16-inch and 5-inch ammunition into the Kansung area in the first hour. The light cruiser Manchester and 9 destroyers firing over the mass of minesweepers clearing the area added to the tremendous volume of naval gunfire. Due north of Suwon, the Chinese are making increasing use of artillery. 25 rounds were hurled yesterday against Puerto Rican troops fighting for a slushy hill about 4 miles northeast of Suwon. Delayed reports say a Negro infantry platoon killed an estimated 50 Reds in a bitter local fight for a hill position yesterday. On the front lines in Korea, this is Max Jordan.
AP foreign policy analyst DeWitt McKenzie here. General MacArthur said after his weekend visit to the blazing Korea battlefront that the stakes we fight for now are more than Korea. It's a free Asia. To me, that emphasizes that the conflict is outgrowing Korea and that Asia already is aflame with the hot war. Beyond that, we have no right to speculate with MacArthur's words. However, from our own observations, we are entitled to add this Asiatic upheaval might, though not necessarily, develop into World War III. The trend of events has made it quite clear that the Korean War is the outgrowth of a deliberate plan. The communist North Koreans launched it by invading independent South Korea. The United Nations intervention to halt this attack was followed by the appearance of Chinese volunteer troops from Manchuria and China proper. Red Peiping's subsequent assumption of these volunteers and North Koreans has made it obvious that Moscow-backed China is behind the Korean upheaval. When we further take into consideration Red China's activities against French Indochina, Tibet, and other eastern countries, we get a picture of an Asia across which the Bolshevist revolution is spreading. In the end, if there is to be another world war, it could start either in Asia or in Europe. One would rather expect it to be the latter, since that is the theater in which the great powers are massing their main strengths. Personally, I am not ready yet to agree that another world war is inevitable. The danger is grave, but the die isn't yet cast. In D.C., this is DeWitt McKenzie.
This is the nation's capital. Westbrook Pegler here with the Commie Watch. The leadership of the Democratic Party at last has accomplished the common purpose of Harry S. Truman, Eleanor Roosevelt, and all the communist quislings. This common purpose is to destroy the usefulness of the House Committee on Un-American Activities. This has been done by means of a ruse, which, in conjunction with election returns, has reduced the committee to nothing. Speaker Sam Rayburn decided that all members who are not lawyers should be replaced by lawyers. This trick was devised to get rid of F. Edward Hebert of Louisiana. A former newspaper reporter, Hebert has hounded the traitors so relentlessly that the president couldn't take him anymore. After all, most of them are New Deal traitors. The House Committee on Un-American Activities no longer is trustworthy. Citizens who put information in its hands run a risk that they will be secretly exposed to their enemies and that their evidence will be suppressed. It has become a whitewashing agency, partly engaged in clearing people who had been listed with dubious or guilty associations written against their names. Meanwhile, the investigation into the communist treason has been taken over by the Senate. Wisconsin Senator Joe McCarthy took up where Woods Committee laid down. With the Commie Watch, this is Westbrook Pegler.
This is Stan Turner in West Berlin. People here demonstrated over Sunday on behalf of 18-year-old Hermann Josef Flade, condemned to death by an East German communist court after he defiantly told the tribunal he loved freedom more than life. The more than 4,000 demonstrators were told that 22 other people under 18 years of age had not been heard of since they were arrested by Soviet zone police. The demand for information on these youths was made by League Against Inhumanity's Ernest Hellich. West German Mayor Ernest Mayer also made an unscheduled address to the meeting, second such meeting held on Flotta's behalf. Support for the militantly anti-communist Flotta has boomed throughout West Germany since he was sentenced 3 weeks ago to be beheaded, convicted of distributing anti-communist literature and of knifing a policeman. He shouted defiance to the court through microphones, which carried his words to the crowds outside. In Berlin, this is Stan Turner.
Michigan Governor Williams is proposing a statewide test of the civil defense system April the 15th. The drill will be based on a mock atomic bombing on Detroit and the Sioux Lux. Williams says the exercises will assume that two atomic bombs have been dropped by the Russian Air Force on Sault Ste. Marie, the site of the vital locks of Lake Michigan and Superior, and two on Detroit, the arsenal of democracy. The atomic blast in Nevada Sunday gave Adolf Schleicher a big boost. Schleicher found a bat cave there 2 years ago full of guano, worth more than $500,000. The explosion started an earth slide that opened up another chamber in the cave. This is even bigger and richer in guano than the first. Guano is used in making commercial fertilizer. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Jack McKenna has this message.
Thank you, Lou. Thank you, Lou. Oh, I hate those bats. From Maurice's, a big sale going on now. Quality fashions drastically reduced for final clearance. Dresses, $5 and some for $7. Both bargains, big ones. Fur-trimmed coats, this is a good time of the year to talk about that. $58 and $68. Suits for the gals, $25. Slips, $298. Untrimmed winter coats, $29, $39. And bras, just 59 cents. Storm coats, $36. Oh, I could go on and on, but I don't have the time to tell you about all the wonderful sale bargains they have at Maurice's at 1227 Tower Avenue in Superior. Hello?
The terrific cold continues to grip the city and the nation. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has more.
Winter's worst cold wave continued today in the upstate with thermometers plunging into the 40s below zero, having the reputation of the ice box of the nation. Gordon found the mercury staying at 45 below during the night. This morning it was 36 below at the official thermometer at the Gordon State Nursery. In the Shawamigan Bay region, the temperatures were 35 below at Washburn, minus 34 at Bayfield, and 32 below in Ashland. Schools were closed in Bayfield for the second day, but open in Washburn and Ashland, although attendance was reduced by the sub-zero temperatures. The Argo, Gurney, Delta, and Altamont schools were closed. Schools at Drummond, Mason, and Grandview were open, but buses were not running. Temperatures were too low for ice netting and bobbing in the Apostle Islands area, but fishermen are hoping the cold snap will form good solid ice far out from the shore where the fishing's best. Washburn had a water shortage for a time when pipes froze at the pump station. Superintendent J.E. Overby and his men had the pump in operation again by this afternoon. There was an ample supply in the reservoir, but a heavy drain on it because it was wash day, and many flat-rate consumers let their water run during extremely cold weather. Today's high in Superior was 12 below. The weather closed public and parochial schools in the city and county. The minus reading of 37 below was the lowest in the available records since 1909. The record for Wisconsin was set on January 24, 1922, when the mercury fell to 54 below zero at Danbury in Burnett County, just southwest of here. Madison's reading this morning was 37 below, 8 degrees colder than their previous record of minus 29 set in 1888, Lou.
Senator Alexander Wiley says this would be an absolute sin to further delay construction of the long-proposed St. Lawrence Seaway and power project. Commenting on legislation expected to be introduced in the Senate this week to authorize the development, Wiley says St. Lawrence is a precious resource of the United States and Canada, and it's now being wasted. Wiley says the project is designed to strengthen this country and Canada. It's a privilege to participate in athletics. Always be worthy of the privilege. These were the words of advice from University of Wisconsin line coach Milt Bruin to the athletes of Superior's three high schools and college yesterday. He delivered it at the 7th Annual Junior Chamber of Commerce Banquet held in the dining room of the Concordia Lutheran Church. Bruin was introduced at the banquet by Toastmaster Bill Downs. Grid matters introduced were Superior State College coach Mark Dean, Central High School coach Harry Conley, East coach William Finn, and Cathedral coach Steve Bashand. The program opened with the group singing of the Star Spangled Banner, followed by invocation delivered by Concordia Lutheran Church pastor Andrew Bowe. Jack?
Lou Martin. Always a privilege to work with you, Lou. I only hope I am worthy of the privilege.
It's hard to tell whether you're being nice or sarcastic.
Mr. Martin, I'm sincere. Here's our forecast for this cold Tuesday, January 30th, 1951. Partly clear skies and not so cold tonight. The low will be about, 16 below, with a high tomorrow of just 3 above. Break out the short sleeves, folks. It's music time. Here's Sammy Kay and Chicory Chick with the vocals of Nancy Norman and Billy Williams on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Oh, Chicory Chick, chala, chala, chick-a-la-room, in a banana, cabalica, wallica, can't you see? Chicory Chick is me.
Once there lived a chicken who would say, chick, 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 all day. That chick got sick and tired of just chick, chick. So one morning he started to say, Chickory chick, chala, chala, chick-a-la-roni, in a banana, cabalica, wallica, can't you see? Chickory chick is me. Chickory chick, chala, chala, chick-a-la-roni, in a banana, cabalica, wallica, can't you see? Chickory chick is me. Every time you're sick and tired of just the same old thing, saying just the same old words all day, be just like the chicken who found something new to sing. Open up your mouth and start to say, oh, chickory chick, chala, chala, chick-a-la-roni, in a banana, cabalica, wallica, can't you see? Chickory chick is me.
Chickory chick is me. Chickory chick, chala chala, chick-a-la-roni, in a banana, cabalica, wallica, can't you see? Chickory chick is me.
time you're sick and tired of just the same old thing, saying just the same old words all day. Be just like the chicken who found something new to sing. Open up your mouth and start to say,
oh, chickery chick, chala chala, chakalaroom, me in a banana, kabalika walika, can't you see? Chickery chick is me, chickery chick is me, chickery chick is me, balika walika, can't you see? Chickery chick is me.
Swinging and swaying with Sammy Cahan and Chickery Chick. Hey, folks, Independent Cleaners has the greatest offer yet in dry cleaning. Overcoats and topcoats for just, get this, 99 cents, cash and carry. This week only at Independent Cleaners, 1314 Tower Avenue in Superior. The Farm Guy is next, but coming soon is Stump the Listener. Let's enjoy now newcomer Debbie Reynolds and Tammy on the Martin and McKenna Wonderful Winter Show.
I hear the cottonwoods whispering above. Tammy, Tammy, Tammy's in love. The old owl, hootie hoos to the dove. Tammy, Tammy, Tammy's in love. Does my lover feel what I feel when he comes near? My heart beats so joyfully. You'd think that he could hear. Wish I knew if he knew what I'm dreaming of. Tammy, Tammy, Tammy's in love.
Debbie Reynolds and Tammy on station KUWS.
Let me introduce County Agricultural Agent Claude Birdie Ebling. Good evening, sir.
Cold enough for you?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Oh, by the way, don't call me Birdie. The name's Claude.
But for some unknown, mysterious, illogical,
unexplainable, incredible, fantastic, absurd,
impenetrable, and implausible reason, you've always insisted that we call you Birdie.
Well, Birdie just doesn't have that air of credibility when you're in my line of work. Farmers demand respect. Birdie just doesn't do it. So, I settled on Mac. Good, strong name.
How do you get Mac out of Claude?
Or Ebling.
It's worked like a charm so far, especially since I've had to take on some very sensitive, sensitive topics. It gives me the hiccups just thinking about the things I've got to be talking about to these farmers.
Like what, Mac?
If it's sensitive, maybe we shouldn't discuss it on the air.
Braziers for cows. Rubber bras for the heavy milk-producing Bessie.
Braziers for Bessie?
Yep. The braziers support the bag and keep off dirt. It's a good idea, really, but there's a bad idea going around, and this is bad. Shocking bad.
Lingerie for cows.
Rock phosphate fertilizer. Yep. There are salesmen out there peddling this stuff, not telling the truth. You see, and I'm sure you will once I've got it all laid out there for you to understand and comprehend the shocking magnitude of this, while rock phosphate will do the soil a good turn if bought at the right price, these salesmen are not telling the truth when they tell farmers, get this. I mean, hold on to your straw hats. Mothers, cover your children's ears.
It's that shocking, Mac?
Afraid so. Yep, yep, it is that shocking. Here goes. They say there is no need for potash if their product is used. Why can't these salesmen tell the truth? If potash is added with rock phosphate, it makes for a fine combination, especially for alfalfa and clover. Maybe I've said too much, I don't know, but there it is.
Mothers, you can take your hands off the ears of your kids.
Oh, one more thing. I just want to put a plug. I mean, plug. Is that how you say it? Plug?
I have no idea. You lost me at potash.
Plug is right, isn't it, Jack?
Plug away, Mac.
A plug for Ligdal Rexall Drug, which has some good prices for your veterinary supplies. They have, get this, simply amazing, 100 sulfanilamide tablets for $3.89. Yep, good price there for your sulfanilamide needs. Also, a 4-ounce jar of cowpox ointment, just a dollar-rooney. And for treatment of milk fever, they've got Calodex 250 cc's, also for a greenback. See Arthur Moyne at Lignell Rexall Drug. Make your order over the telephone. He'll pay the postage on mail orders.
Thank you, Mr. Claude Mac Ebling, County Farm Agent.
I hope you don't get too many phone calls from all this controversy.
Oh, we can take it. Thanks, Mac. The Muskie.
Husky.
Husky guys are in next, folks, then Stump the Listener. Let's enjoy Vaughn Monroe now and his re-release of his hit Ghost Riders in the Sky on the Martin and McKenna Adults Only Show.
An old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day. Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way. When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw a-plowing through the ragged skies and up a cloudy draw. The ghost heard in the sky. Their brands were still on fire and their hooves were made of steel. Their horns were black and shiny and their hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky, for he saw the riders coming hard, and he heard their mournful cry. Ghost riders in the sky. Their faces gaunt, their eyes were blurred, and shirts all soaked with sweat. They're riding hard to catch that herd, but they ain't caught 'em yet. 'Cause they've got to ride forever on that range up in the sky. On horses snorting fire as they ride on, hear their cry. Yibbe-i-o, yibbe-i-o. As the riders loped on by him, heard one call his name. If you want to save your soul from hell, riding on our reins, then cowboy, change your ways today, or with us you will ride, a-trying to catch the devil's herd across these endless skies.
E-I-E-I-O. Ghost riders in the sky.
Monroe and Ghost Riders in the Sky on KUWS.
It's my distinct pleasure to introduce Mr. Harlan Collett, the general manager of the new Husky.
Musky.
Sometimes you're contagious. Musky Festival in Hayward.
Cold enough for you? Say, I hope you don't mind. Nelson Ross came along for the ride.
It's not as long a ride if you've got somebody in the front seat with you.
Even better if you've got someone in the back seat with you.
Oh, Mr. Collett, Mr. Nelson.
That's Mr. Ross. Nelson Ross. Of course, my buddies, they call me Nels.
Of course. The second annual Musky Festival isn't until June, but you're already hard at work.
Better than hardly working.
This is where we select Musky Queen. She'll be announced at the Musky Coronation Dance this Saturday night.
Right after the Musky Pool Shoot and Horseshoes Contest.
We started the festival last year to pay tribute for this fighting game fish that draws so many fishermen to the Hayward area lakes each summer. We have plans and hopes of developing the Musky Festival into an annual event in the Indian Head Country.
Those tulip and apple and lilac and cherry blossom festivals got nothing on us.
And mark my words, this second annual Musky Festival will be even better.
Not that there was anything wrong with it last year.
No, certainly not. But there's always room for improvement. I was thinking of having a sauna competition.
Oh, that there's a good idea, Harlan. Good one. Whoever comes out most shrinkled wins.
We're always looking at bigger and better.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't want to change much. That Musky Parade has some kind of event. I had a bang-up time there. I didn't see anything wrong with that.
Not that there was anything wrong with that,
I should
Nels.
Say not.
But you can always put another feather in your hat with something new.
I suppose. But I don't know about changing anything.
Well, I don't know if you should be changing that.
We seem to be stuck here, Lou.
So how's the search for Miss Queen Musky going? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that'd be wonderful.
You know, the Musky Queen gets to go to the Chicago Outdoor Show at Navy Pier next month. Queen Musky will be entertained at dinners and dances and interviewed on the radio and even the television.
Good exposure for us to get people to come to the Hayward Lake Resorts.
So you want a really great Miss Musky. She's got to have lots of, personality.
The more personality, the better.
Lou's always been a lake man, you know.
But I prefer personality.
At that point of my personal invasion, I'd like to wish Harlan Collett and Nelson Ross good luck with the summer's second annual Hayward Musky Festival.
Swell. Thanks, fellas.
I like that sauna idea of yours, Harlan.
Besides, it'll make sure the fishermen get cleaned up.
That fish gut smell is hard to get out. It was a problem last year.
To bring us to Stump the Listener, here's Joe Stafford and Blue Moon on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Turn to gold.
suddenly appeared before me, the only one my arms will ever hold. I heard somebody whisper, "Please adore me." And when I looked, the moon had turned to gold. Blue moon. Now I'm no longer alone, without a dream in my heart, without a love of mine.
Joe Stafford and Blue Moon on station KUWS. Lou Martin has these news bulletins.
Flash from London. Prime Minister Clement Attlee warned Britons this evening that they must return to some of the World War II economic restrictions if the new, more expensive defense program is to be carried out. From Washington, Senator Henry Cabot Lodge and Edward Johnson urged Congress to form a United States Foreign Legion composed of a million or more anti-communist men of other nations. And from New York, brief Voice of America announcements are telling the world about the new atomic energy tests going on in Nevada, Jack.
Thanks, Lou. Now, to the important stuff, boy. Time to play Stump the Listener.
Oh, goody.
I'm excited, too. We've got questions about our dear old city, Superior. We'll take the third caller at 8530-8530. Test your skills, or we'll stump the listener. I love stumping listeners, Lou.
But you never do. It's as if everybody knows the answers ahead of time.
This time, I feel lucky. We have two free tickets to see Harvey, starring Jimmy Stewart and Josephine Hull, at the Beacon Theater. That is, if you aren't stumped. Okay. Hello, caller number three. Name and city, please.
This is Einar Tesdahl in Ino. Cold enough for you?
Einar in Ino? Have you called before?
No. You might be thinking of my cousin Axel in Oulu. We get confused all the time. We sound alike, look alike. We even dated the same girl for a while in school. Ina.
Let me guess. She lived in Ino.
Matter of fact, we called her Ina from Ino.
So, who got the girl?
Oh, I did, of course. A farmer from Ino is just too irresistible. Kind of an animal magnetism thing.
So, it's Einar and Ina of Ino?
You betcha.
I hate everything about this game.
Here's your big question about Superior. Being from Ino, I know it'll be extra tough. But here goes. Superior has 42 square miles. What city does that compare to in Wisconsin?
What do you think, Ina?
Well, I'm sure I don't know that one. Could be Oshkosh, or could be Wausau, or could be Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee.
No, not Milwaukee. Milwaukee's too big. But you never know.
What do you think, Ina? I think it's La Crosse.
Who's Ada?
It's obvious that Ada would be Ina and Einar's daughter in Ino.
Mama's right, Papa. I think it'd be Milwaukee.
Well, if Ada and Ina think it's Milwaukee, that's good enough for Einar. It's Milwaukee, Mr. McKenna.
Right you are.
And the unbroken streak of not stumping the listener continue.
Boy, are they excited.
Goodness. Oh, that's good.
Better give them three tickets to the Beacon.
Good idea, Lou. We'll square things up with the Inoites. That's it, folks. Stay tuned for Big John and Sparky, Space Patrol, Jack Armstrong, and Can You Top This? We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing, that is, and Ina and Einar and Ada of Ino say their prayers. For Lou Martin, this is Jack McKenna wishing one and all a good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1951, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio.
Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Duke Skorich, Danielle Kading, John Munson, Brian Matuszak, Gene Andreese, Bruce McDonald, Tony Jasmine. All events reported on Radio Superior 1951 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.